In nomine Patris et Filii et Spiritus Sancti. It is now just over 1 month since we have been allowed to return to the use of our churches in the state of Minnesota. It was on Pentecost Sunday at the very end of May, when after 10 weeks or so of parking lot masses, finally we could get back to within the house of God. Granted, with still some modifications, but on Pentecost Sunday, we were once again back within the walls and in the sanctuary of the house of God. Had it not been for a half dozen individuals, however, we might still be out in our parking lot offering the sacrifice of the Mass from the inside of a U-Haul trailer of fond memory. I hope that thing is put into a museum and never ever needed again for Mass. At any rate, had it not been for a half dozen individuals who took a stand and went to battle with the government, we might still be out there in that parking lot and the priest in the U-Haul. But a half dozen individuals, namely the bishops of our state, took a stand. And they went to battle, a battle in the public arena. And they said publicly, we will no longer submit to an unjust executive order of the government, and specifically of the governor. For at that time, by executive order, most businesses were open to a certain capacity without any limit of number, and the shopping malls across the state were open to 25 or 50% capacity, which in the case of the Mall of America, I'm sure numbers in the thousands and thousands. So businesses could function fully, and shopping malls could be littered with folks wandering through shopping malls, but churches were still to be limited to 10 individuals total, including the priest. And if you add a couple of servers, that would leave 7 spots in the pews of this church. Or for that matter, in the pews of the Cathedral of St. Paul, which can hold well over 4,000, I'm sure, and has a 200-foot ceiling. 10 people within a church or within a cathedral. But shopping malls, they're essential. Newsflash, no one ever died as a result of a lack of access to a shopping mall. So the bishops took an unprecedented stand. It had not been done up to that point. So far as I know, it has not been done since they went to battle. It was in the public arena. And they won, with some compromises, but they won. And so our freedom, which is our constitutional right and an obligation imposed on us by God Almighty Himself, is restored. We now have the Mass and we have all of the sacraments within the house of God. This past week, more than 1,000 miles away to the east, a few individuals went to battle again over a very similar situation. In the state of New York, and in particular in the city of New York City, two priests went to battle against a governor and a mayor. Two priests who would not submit. By the way, these two priests belong to the Society of St. Pius X. They filed a lawsuit against the governor and against the mayor in order to be offering Mass within their churches. And they were represented by a traditional attorney, Catholic attorney, Christopher Ferrara, whose name is known to many of you. He writes extensively for traditional publications and websites. So they went to battle, not in the public arena, because you may not even have heard of it until the results are now in, but a battle in court against a governor and a mayor who, by the way, are apostate Catholics. And by the way, the mayor of New York City a few weeks ago went so far as to say that if any church or synagogue did not follow executive directives with regards to limitations or prohibitions about church services, that he would ensure that they were permanently closed. Imagine the threat of permanently closing churches that would dare defy the mayor or the governor of New York. What a small, petty, mean-spirited man who would threaten that. At any rate, they won. A federal judge determined and judged that what was being done in New York was unconstitutional and it was unjust, noting, among other things, that the mayor and the governor were determining which constitutional rights could be exercised. Because on the one hand, they were not allowing the constitutional practice of religion or severely limiting it. On the other hand, this mayor and this governor were publicly promoting people to join in public protests, such as those that started here in the Twin Cities. Protests about what we know, yes, I won't even get into that. But knowing that there was no social distancing or any policing of anything, on the one hand, promoting freedom of speech or in the name of freedom of speech, these public massive gatherings of thousands, and at the same time saying that churches could only have a limited number, even outdoors. The judge also noted that while they had opened up nearly every other indoor activity, including businesses and social operations, to either 50 or even 100% capacity, they were still limiting the capacity of churches and synagogues to 25%. And so this time the good guys won the battle in the court. And before that, we had the battle in the public arena, and we won that. But there is a bigger battle yet to be won or lost. And if this battle is lost, the war could very well be lost. That's the battle at the ballot box. That's not that far off. November. The battle at the ballot box. Say that 10 times fast. If we don't win that battle, then those who want to rule over us will do that. The people that claim They want to represent us, but in reality, they want to rule over us, and they've given us a big taste of what that is like, with locking us down with draconian laws and executive orders, at the same time promoting anarchy in our streets. Are these the people that we want ruling over us? I would hope, though I don't have a great deal of confidence, that the citizens of the United States, but especially Catholics, and here I have some hope, will remember who were the ones that locked us down and ruled over us and rule even now, or attempt to, like tyrants. And who are the ones that wanted to acknowledge and respect our constitutional rights and our right and obligation to worship God? And by the way, that right and obligation doesn't extend to false religions. It extends to the one true religion, Catholicism. But do not underestimate the importance of that battle at the ballot box. We could lose the war if that battle is lost. On the other hand, if, and I pray God that we do, win that battle at the ballot box, that doesn't mean we've won the war. It just means we haven't lost the war. Because to win the war, to win back what was intended as genuine independence for us to at least have the right to worship and live as God has intended us, but to win the war, including the right to worship God in true religion unimpeded, that war can't be won at the ballot box. We can only win that battle. To win the war and to reclaim the soul of this country and the souls of individuals, that has to be done on our knees. Faithful Catholics on their knees, praying for God's mercy and grace on this nation. So we need to be on our knees, praying for God's grace and mercy on our nation and the unfaithful out there, that they come to their knees as well, that they receive that grace and they get down on their knees, not in protest of an American flag or ideal, but they get on their knees in sorrow, in contrition, and in resolve to live as God intends them to live. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost.